from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Voters have passed Proposition 30, what many consider to be the biggest measure on this California ballot. Governor Jerry Brown crisscrossed the state in recent weeks, making his pitch, supported by union leaders, teachers, and others keen to avoid the trigger cuts that would have hit had Prop 30 failed. But even before the final count was in, the governor was in a buoyant mood at the Yes on 30 election night party in downtown Sacramento. Judy Campbell reports.
Governor Brown had a lot on the line with Prop 30. It imposes a temporary quarter-cent sales tax and raises income taxes on the wealthy for 7 years. The failure of Prop 30 would have triggered $6 billion in education cuts, and the governor staked his reputation on the measure, making it his top priority. But last night, as Prop 30 was trending well and exit polls were promising, Brown was very optimistic.
The only place in America where a state actually said, let's raise our taxes for our kids, for our schools, for our California dream.
Brown took aim at 30's opponents for what he called their doctrinaire thinking that government can't do anything right. And that's been one of the major challenges of the Prop 30 campaign. For the past 5 years, the state has used education funding to balance the budget, and opponents say they don't trust lawmakers to spend the money as promised. Dean Vogel, president of the California Teachers Association, says he's optimistic that voters understood that Prop 30 guarantees funding for schools despite a well-funded no campaign.
One of the things that the voters consistently have said is California's not for sale. We want to decide for ourselves what we're going to do. And I believe that they're doing that tonight.
The no on Proposition 30 campaign was outspent, but was still well funded. A large contribution from out-of-state groups came under scrutiny by state regulators, who on Monday said the donation represents the largest case of money laundering in state history. Proposition 30 also faced a threat from a competing education funding measure, 38, funded by billionaire Molly Munger. That measure was soundly defeated. For the California Report, I'm Judy Campbell.
Let's turn now to the state ballot measures focused on California's justice system. Voters overwhelmingly approved Proposition 35, which toughens the laws on human trafficking. They were less moved by Prop 34, a bid to abolish the death penalty. Only 5 states have abolished capital punishment in the past quarter century, and it looks likely to stay that way. Michael Montgomery picks up the story of Proposition 36.
Voters were more supportive of Proposition 36, which changes the state's 3-strikes law so it focuses on serious or violent crimes. Michael Romano, a Stanford law professor who helped write the initiative, says the measure will save taxpayers millions, but that wasn't the only reason voters approved it.
Folks really do want justice and fairness, and they realize that people who are serving life sentences for stealing a pair of socks or possession of a tiny amount of drugs was unjust.
Santa Clara County District Attorney Jeff Rosen also supported the initiative, alongside top prosecutors from San Francisco and Los Angeles. Rosen says that while prosecutors will continue to use the 3-strikes law to lock up violent felons, hundreds of current inmates convicted of low-level nonviolent offenses could see early release through the measure.
The 3-strikers that will be getting out sooner are those that have already served very long terms in prison, some as long as 16 or 17 years in prison.
But Mike Reynolds, author of the original 3-strike statute, says the measure will dilute the law's effectiveness.
It's going to dumb down California crime laws to be able to stop repeat offenders. And worst yet, it's going to destroy the deterrent value of the 3-strikes law.
Supporters say the measure will put California in line with 27 other states that apply 3-strikes laws only for violent crimes. For the California Report, I'm Michael Montgomery.
Proposition 37 was one of the most closely watched measures well beyond state borders. California would have been the first state in the nation to require labeling all genetically modified foods and ingredients. But a well-funded ad campaign led by the agricultural biotech giant Monsanto swayed voters against the measure. At the election night party for Yes on 37, campaign co-chair Dave Murphy said he still counted one win out of the effort.
We've changed the conversation in America on food. It's never going to be the same again.
More than a dozen states introduced GMO labeling bills this year. All failed. And now on to California's congressional delegation. Thanks to redistricting, we got to see some politicians fight for survival against their own party members, perhaps most dramatically in L.A.'s San Fernando Valley, where the angry contest between Brad Sherman and Howard Berman captured the attention of politicos all the way over in Washington, D.C. The newly drawn District 30 now belongs to Brad Sherman by a wide margin of victory. The biggest upset in the San Francisco Bay Area, 20-term incumbent Pete Stark lost out to a fellow Democrat, Dublin City Councilman Eric Swalwell, who celebrated with his supporters last night in nearby Pleasanton.
I am proud to say that new energy and ideas are coming to Washington, D.C.
One congressional contest drew more outside money, more than $8 million than any other in California. It's a nail-biter. Democrat Ami Berra is barely ahead of incumbent Republican Dan Lundgren in the suburbs east of Sacramento. At his election night party, Berra said his strong showing proves that even against big money, all politics is local.
We built this campaign on a local grassroots effort, and that's the best way to inoculate yourself from millions of dollars being thrown against you.
At the California GOP party last night in Costa Mesa, the mood was understandably somber after it became clear that President Barack Obama won a second term. Mario Rodriguez, chair of Hispanic 100 in Orange County, says Romney's loss should serve as a wake-up call for the Republican Party.
We did not run a good ground game with Latinos. We did not do a good outreach to Latinos. We didn't make them part of the process. And that's what happened. You know, if you continue to do those things, those are the results you're going to get.
Patsy Metcalf of Newport Beach said she thinks the Republican Party also needs to think more broadly in terms of class.
I hope the Republican Party re-engineers themselves and they sit down and they say, we were so close. So I hope they do that. I really do. I hope they go after all socioeconomic groups.
The GOP's future in California hangs on a question we don't quite know the answer to yet, whether Democrats want a supermajority in the state legislature. With a few more ballots left to count, we'll have to wait and see. A record number of Californians registered to vote this year, but the turnout is running about 51.2%, according to the Secretary of State. One of the big questions in this election, Latino turnout. They are the fastest growing minority in California. Communities for a New California knocked on doors and phone banked this election season to help turn unlikely voters into likely voters in the Central Valley. Regional Director Sabina Gonzalez says their efforts brought out an estimated 20,000 voters in Fresno County alone.
We definitely feel confident that, you know, with 20,000 plus voters, you know, the majority of whom are Latinos, that are saying that they do support what we're working on and they are with us. I think that's absolutely the wave of the future.
Look for all our election coverage online at californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Wednesday, November 7th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Fallas Family Fund for coverage of climate change. Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as preventing network intrusions and data theft by hackers. Barracuda.com.